When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing on the floor.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP suite.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
So our EMF meter started to go haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
We'll be right back. I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 a.m. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
I'm going to audition for that part.
What's that?
You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
I don't know anybody that has a deeper voice than Keith.
Scott L. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Maybe the guy that's coming up here pretty soon.
Let's find out.
All right.
Derek formed Capers in August 2001. Derek has always been looking for answers, and we've seen him like 80 million times out and about. These questions started as early as his childhood while hearing local legends and stories of New England ghosts and shipwrecks. Since forming Capers, he's not only found a dedicated team who seek the same answers, but also found more questions as to how and why paranormal events happen around us. Derek believes in a pragmatic, scientific approach to ghost hunting and uses both technical equipment and intensive historical research in his casework. Mm-hmm. Capers, led by Mr. Bartlett, is involved with cases that span from New England to New Orleans and beyond. Derek is a former U.S. Marine and employs the concepts of both discipline and an intense theoretical approach in his work. A self-described skeptical believer, he is not out to debunk everyone else's work as much as he is to prove his own findings. He maintains a high standard for Capers and feels that leading by example is not only better for his own group, but for the overall perception of paranormal research groups as a whole. His website, www.caiprs.com, that's capers.com. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Derek Bartlett.
Thank you for having me.
I got to say right out of the gate here, like I always do, we've known you or known about you forever, it seems. And we've bumped heads at several conferences, and we never talked, it seemed like. You know, and your name's always been around. I'm like, we got to get Derek on the show. And it's happened. This has happened with a couple people we've had on the show.
It has.
Especially, like, this year.
We've solved that this year.
We've
for
solved
several,
it for several
of people that,
that we really wanted to talk to. And we finally got to hang out a couple times now, and we had a phenomenal time together. Mm-hmm. I think we all had a really great time together.
Of course we have.
Yeah. And, you know, I finally was like, okay, we get back home, I got to get a hold of Derek. I want to get him on the show really, really bad. We pull it together, and it's an honor to have you on finally, Derek. So thank you and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, and it's an honor to actually be on your show.
Oh, really? I don't know, but
we'll see what you say at 9 o'clock. We'll see about an hour from now. Yeah.
How long has Capers been in existence now, if I may ask?
Formerly as Cape and Islands Paranormal Research Society, at the end of 2000.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm actually looking at the bio now, and I kind of missed that part because I was doing stuff. So it was a stupid question to ask. All right, it's good to start. Awesome. Yeah, there you go. Boom. Now, there's a lot of people, a lot of groups. We've talked about this stuff back and forth. You guys have been around for a while. I mean, 6 years, it seems like, for ghost hunting, you know, up until now, if you've been around that long, you're a veteran, in my opinion. You really are a veteran, in my opinion. Especially if you've been running a ghost hunting group for that long. It seems like groups come and go pretty quick nowadays.
God, yeah.
So, congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. When I started Capers, I wanted professionalism. You know, what got me into this, and I'll let every listener know the real reason, what I've always never been able to say, and now I'm finally saying it this year.
Mm-hmm.
I took a photograph I couldn't explain in 2000. I gave it to a local team here in Massachusetts that was already established.
Yeah.
And so the next day they put it on their website and said, look what we got. You know, I'm the type of guy, if you do that, be prepared, because my goal was within a year to year and a half is to have that group disbanded, which actually actually, my thought process actually worked before I could actually get the ball rolling to do that. They actually disbanded, of course. So when that started, I wanted definitely to bring professionalism. And, of course, 2004, we became incorporated in Massachusetts. And the end of 2004, we worked with the federal government for 7 months to become nonprofit.
Oh, my God.
An actual 501c3 corporation.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't use the word nonprofit. We are actually a true nonprofit organization.
Well, when you say, and I hear the word professionalism a lot nowadays, right? And what I always say is like, okay, professionalism, yeah. I mean, there is a professional attitude you have to have. But what I always seem to be using myself now is, let's just use an adult attitude. Let's use a common sense approach here. Let's do the right things for people. Let's make people comfortable,
yep,
when we're doing work like that. And I think it runs hand in hand with professionalism too. I mean, what is professionalism really? I mean, it's something. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's an approach to whatever it is you're doing, whatever arena you're in. And I think those two things kind of run hand in hand. And it does rub off. I think it does make a big difference when you're going out and doing, especially this kind of work nowadays.
Oh, yeah, because for CAPERS, we've actually done over 70 residential investigations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to 70 people's homes, and they gave us the opportunity to look for their activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I look at it. It's not like I'm looking for their ghost. Because the thing is they're living with it. They know their house is haunted. They are living with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're giving my team the opportunity to document.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it. And, you know, and you have to have that professional persona, you know, especially going into someone's residential home. And especially doing with what most people are doing now is going to the big events and big venue hotels and things.
Mm-hmm.
Professionalism is needed. Or, believe it or not, your name's going to be on the blacklist.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and again, it's just that I think it is just this idea of doing the right thing,
yeah,
using your common sense. You do want to come in there with a decent attitude with people. You want to, you know, you want. I mean, it's very difficult because I know Doug and I, we've run into this thing before where we do go to some place to do some work and people, they have questions. They have lots of questions. And that's great. I mean, but we don't really have a lot of answers.
Like, right. All I do is start spouting theories.
Yeah.
There is a theory about this, and there's a theory about that. But,
yeah.
But I don't have an actual answer, usually. I can just...
But you can give them...
Just give them the background.
Well, maybe you can give them something to think about, though.
And then they can form their own answer.
I mean,
all there is right now.
And I'm wondering, Derek, I'm sure you guys have been in the same position also where, I mean, people are like, well, you know, this is what's going on. You know, what do you think is going on here in your professional opinion? I mean, how would you approach something like that?
When they ask me the question, like, usually that's the answer they're looking for when they first ask is, you know, what's going on, as in they're haunting. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, and I'm here. My team is here to educate them, you know. Look, it could be this. There's a possibility, you know. That's where you'll hear my words all the time. It's a possibility it could be this or that or, you know, until we get down to nitty-gritty. And it's hard to say, and they always want to know who it is. You know, who's this thing in my house? Because
mm-hmm.
they have never seen it.
Yeah.
And that's hard for us as well. Unless there is characteristics of a former owner or somebody else, you know, unless you have that apparition that has appeared to somebody where they have a description.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to educate them as much as possible so they're not, you know, I can't say not afraid because, believe me, fear is a natural human instinct. And believe me, if I come out of my bedroom and there's an old woman standing in my hallway, oh, yeah, you're going to hear me faint, you know, hit the floor. You know, because, you know, being startled is one thing, but being truly afraid of it is what we're trying to, you know, push down and, you know, make them okay to live with.
Well,
so when they ask me, you know, mm-hmm. it could be a possibility of everything.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what I'm stabbing at, I think, there, too, is, I mean, and that's what, Doug, you just said that, too, Doug. And what I always like to tell people, because people, you know, we all know this, Derek, you know this, if you're at a party or you're hanging out somewhere and you're not, you know, you're off the clock, right? You don't want to talk shop all the time, right? But somebody says something to somebody else and then the word gets around that you're a ghost hunter or you're a paranormal investigator. All of a sudden you have an audience that you have to address now. It happens a lot, right? And what I always say to people is, okay, if we're going to talk about this, I want you to keep in mind from this point onward that everything I'm talking about is theory. These are ideas.
You're right.
So don't take anything I'm saying that as the word of, like, you know, as biblical here, okay?
Right. And it's a pseudoscience, too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's no written anything. Yeah, well, it's written by a lot of people, but, however, there is no A equals plus B equals C.
Yeah,
all the time.
And then you have a ghost.
It's never like that.
It don't work that way. And who knows? I hate to say it, but it may never work that way. It may never work that way in our lifetimes.
And I know it won't, you know. And there's people out there that, like, you know, you guys that are interviewing all these people, like former people that I always give props to, and, you know, Troy and Rosemary and John and all those guys. And Zaphis, that is, John Zaphis, you know, put their foot forward prior to me even knowing that ghost hunting was really available to the common person for these steps, you know, and before them, you know, you got, you know, the Price and you got everybody else, you know, Houdini. And so it's going to be another stepping stone in my lifetime, hopefully, for the next generation.
Yeah.
That we can have some answers, a little bit more.
You guys have visited over 70 private residences, am I correct?
Correct.
That's what you said before. I'm just curious if there's anything you'd like to share with us as far as maybe an experience you had at any of these residences. And I understand if a lot of this is probably confidential, but if you would like to shed some light on maybe one.
You know, as long as I leave out their last name and their address, that's all that matters.
Okay.
I can, unless they have told me not to ever talk about their hauntings. But, you know, you come across people. People are individuals. They have their own individual personalities. I can talk about the good, the bad, or the ugly. Depends on where you want to take this conversation.
I want to go with...
I want the ugly.
I want the good. I don't know. We might need like, all three.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. You're going to grill on you, man.
Well, you know, you get to your you know, family that mostly the husbands don't ever see anything or don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife is, of course, running around with her head cut off, seeing entities and, you know, or not seeing it, but experiencing all the paranormal events. And then the children are stuck in between of dad going, mom's crazy. And, you know, and the mom's like, do you see that? Well, we had a case where this woman, during the day, she was home alone, children at school, husband's at work, and things started happening. And it happened in her daughter's room in a living room. Well, her husband kind of thought she was a fruitcake, and until we got there one evening, and we've actually made him like an honorary team member, you know, that night. Just a, you know, skeptic, I love skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat behind the cameras and everything like that, and all of a sudden we're doing EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, and all of a sudden we played it back because we thought we had picked up something, and sure enough, he heard his mother's voice.
Wow.
Now, he fell outside and smoked, like, 20 cigarettes, you know, and didn't want to come back inside. Well, the thing was is that, you know, it stopped that conflict within the house. You know, that's a decent story. You know, the husband now believes his wife, what she was going through during the day, you know, and they try to keep the children out. Beautiful story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those stories now. Of course, you know, I'll talk about the ugly.
Yay.
You know, you have the typical people that need medication.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get so far into it, you know, as far as a phone call, per se. Then this is the best advice I can give to your listeners. If you are on a team and someone calls you up and you interview them on the phone and you hear they have depression and they're taking their medication but they haven't been, what do you do next? You refer them to the closest bookstore on books. That's it. That's all you do is you leave them off the way. Well, I had a woman call me up, and we investigated her house. This is the ugly story. That was just a reference.
Yeah.
We had a woman call us up, and it was referred by one of my team members that she does have truly a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we interviewed her, and I went out, and my team went out and investigated during the supposedly, you know, the paranormal activity hours, where it's most, you know, most activities happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, nothing had come up. Well, I always leave my office line open 24/7 for any of our clients or, you know, or our cases, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, this woman had called me up, I think around 9 o'clock at night, saying, oh, my God. Now, her boyfriend, just to give you a little story, her boyfriend had passed away within the house, and that's who she thought was haunting it. And she'd see feet and, you know, hear things. Well, I try to accommodate her, you know, stating that we would be out there, you know, anytime, you know, just to make her comfortable and safe in her own home. She had a young boy, but that was staying at her father's house. Well, it was 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday night, and the case was about an hour and a half to 2 hours drive from our office. Well, I try to get a team member to go with me, and of course, what they say, never go alone.
Yeah.
So, well, I was fairly new to the whole thing. It was probably, I want to say, my second or third case. And I had arrived to the house and instantly turned on the video camera. You know, everything's going to be documented, so there's no thinking that anything possibly could have happened if she comes up with, alleged allegations of
yeah.
what I, you know, could have done. Well, the thing was, is that she says, and put it this way, is that her boyfriend comes out while she's lying in bed at night by herself, and it goes on to with marital aids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she'd like for her to do that while I record to see if he comes out. Put it this way, I turned around as fast as possible with the camera still rolling, put up my camera, put up the tripod, and said, okay, I got to go. And ran away. Like, that was a very ugly story.
Uh-huh.
You know, and again, now I've never go to a case ever again alone.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately to say, that woman had sold her house like a month later. So thank God for me. But,
wow.
Yeah, it
yeah.
did happen. You know, and you do have, you know, traumatic stories. You know, when we're investigating, I had never actually physically seen an entity or actually experienced, except the footsteps and the voices. After years, you'll eventually hear them. But you want to see the next big step. It's like a chasing a drug. You want the next best high.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You want to see that entity. You want to see something.
Hell of an analogy there, too, also, Derek, I have to say.
Chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
I had... this woman had become an alcoholic, and she, because not to see the ghosts, okay, she drinks not to hear anything. She basically became an alcoholic. Well, house was built in 1860 here in Massachusetts for Civil War dignitaries, and we went inside, and we had interviewed her already, and so we're investigating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in a bedroom where she gets poked. Now, she grew up in this house as a child. And she had seen this old woman in there a couple of times, so she always thought it was the cane. And me, I've only heard voices and only, you know, heard footsteps. Then that's all I've never seen anything.
Either
never
by.
Felt anything. Just got that cold chill, you know, the typical small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in the room doing EVPs, and, you know, I'm giving my age a couple of years ago. You know, I'm 33 years old. How old are you? When all of a sudden, and now, mind you, I'm only a foot and a half away from a wall behind me, I am... punched, or feels like two knuckles hit my right shoulder blade, then a hand from behind, you know, hands extended, grabs me from the back of the neck and starts forcing me down. Now, again, I'm a former Marine. You know, I can take care of people pretty good. You know,
you're a big guy, too. You're not a small person. I mean, you can handle it.
I'm 6'2", you know, 240.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Deborah Hearn, my director of Ghosts and Hauntings, was in the room with me. And I'm physically, you see me on camera, you don't see anything with the entity, but you physically see me fighting back against something. Well, put it this way. I don't even recall after that. I mean, I see myself on video. I just yelled out an expletive. I quit because I wasn't prepared for myself for this because
mm-hmm.
I never thought it might happen. And I walked outside, and of course I'm a smoker.
Uh-huh.
I have to keep my lovely radio voice.
So
I sat down and, you know, smoked 3 cigarettes in like 2 minutes. And of course now I get to think back, you know, and, you know, when I was sitting down in that chair is, okay, the homeowner has to live in this house. I didn't yell out, I didn't run out screaming, you know, because I knew the homeowner had to live in this house. So we went back and, you know, I kind of packed it up for the evening for myself, kind of like sat by myself outside because I was startled.
Well,
it wasn't something I wasn't really prepared for or expecting.
It's definitely something that's going to catch you off guard. I mean, something
violent.
Yeah,
it totally
like
caught
that.
Me off guard.
And I know I'd probably react the same way, Derek. I would probably be like, no, okay, I'm done for the night.
Did anything show up on the... I know it didn't show up on the video, but what about the recording? Did they say anything while it was going on? EVP?
You heard, and it's great, and this is one thing I've been trying to teach other teams, is listen for a snap. You hear it like a... You hear this noise before a paranormal event. Well, we have anyways. Before anything... You know, strange. Well, we heard that on the recording. You don't hear any noise. You just hear me, like, grunting, fighting this thing. And, and that's it. But you hear the snapping noise, which all the recordings that we have done in the past have come up with something strange about this, like, interdimensional or energy snapping noise before we've recorded paranormal events. So, your listeners, if you do think you have heard the snapping noise, please go back and review your tapes. And see if you do actually hear a snap, just in case. It's a theory. Again, we're going off theories. But, you know, and it ended up being a pastor because the house was divided for the church. And it was a place where they prepared the food and the ministry lived there. And it was a pastor, a reverend, who wasn't, as they say, as in life, as in death. He wasn't pretty. He wasn't a nice guy. And we did the historical research on the house, which is totally one of those things that when you research a house and historical references tell you these people and, you know, the building of the house, and that's what you have to do as a team, you know, and every historical data from all the owners, too. We had found out that, you know, all the owners of the house, the males in the family, had been on the feminine side, or, you know, not a backbone to them.
Yeah.
You know, very, very wet noodle type of men. Well, here I am again, 6'2", 240, booming voice, demanding questions. He felt threatened. It came from a psychic that we had brought in for free to walk him to the other side. And, of course, I'm a skeptical believer, and I just wanted to see if it worked. You know, so I sat there with all my equipment while the psychic did this. And she walked him up what is called the Golden Staircase. Well, it must have worked because this woman now has stopped drinking and she is living in the house comfortably with the other three ghosts. She has three women ghosts that actually make her feel very protective. And she, you know, she doesn't want to sell the house and everything like that. So,
well, that's a good resolution, obviously.
Yeah. And,
you know, we've heard of a lot of, I mean, there's been a lot of cases documented that of somebody bringing in a sensitive to clear a house or send these people on their way or send them where they need to go. And this is one of those situations where it seems to have worked out for the lady who lives there. There are situations where it goes the other way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We hardly ever use psychics unless the people ask us, because that's their belief system, to come in to cleanse the house. We don't do cleansing ourselves. We refer them to people with our guidance.
Yeah.
You know, or they want their house blessed by a priest or something like that. Of course, you can get that negative, you know, thing happening.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we touch more on that after the break? We're going to take a quick break here, Derek.
Sure.
But, yeah, there's a... I've heard of a couple other cases, you know, that we've talked to people about stuff. We've actually been part of things where it went the other way. Maybe we can touch on that.
Well, we've been, you know, both ways, but that was a fantastic story. Don't forget, while we are on break, load up your browsers. It's CAIPRS.com.
Derek Bartlett is with us finally after all these years. It's so good to have you, Derek.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back after this.
I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, And I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
We'll be right back. be seeking the darker side of Paranormal Talk Radio? Look no further. Go to Live365.com and search for Paranormal Radio Show, hosted by Tommy Golden, sponsored by the Tennessee Ghost Chasers. The Search of Paranormal Radio Show talks about all things on the dark side of paranormal. So tune in live on Thursdays and Fridays from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Central Time Zone.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
What are you staring at?
Great Muppet impression.
That was an awesome face. Awesome.
Wow, my God.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, wow, my God. Do, 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 do.
Everybody's in it. The website is Muppets.com. No, it is. Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com, and our guest, Derek Bartlett, his website is www.caipirs.com.
Yes, yes.
We're talking about hauntings.
Rocking and rolling out there doing the work.
Hauntings out on in New England and everywhere, and just
doing the work.
Yeah, getting the work done.
Because that's really what it comes down to, is getting out there and doing the work. And that's something that, you know, we mentioned earlier.
We want to do more.
And that tirade we had about an hour ago, something like that, that, you know, we're trying to go out and get a lot more work done. It's inspiring. It's such an inspiring thing. Because sometimes you get into these lulls every once in a while. I know I have been, as far as the paranormal is concerned. And it's really great to go out and start getting some evidence, maybe experiencing a few things. It really kind of lights that fire under you.
And then complimentary to that.
Yeah.
Complimentary to going out and doing the work, and then getting, you know, getting your work promoted on podcasts and internet and radio shows and things like that, is going and talking to people who are out there doing similar things. And Derek, you're no stranger to the conferences and conventions either.
No, this last year was my biggest year. That I wanted to make it out to conferences, either A, as a guest, or B, you know, as a speaker. And, you know, I've always been, you know, going to choice conferences. But I really enjoy them because that's the thing. It was meeting the people. It's not so much, you know, passing what I have experienced or during a lecture. It's actually sitting down, meeting the people, sitting at a table like I was in Kentucky when I saw you guys last time.
Yeah,
And I had met, you know, there's a couple of people that I actually have become friends with through doing this network. And that's what it is. It's hearing their experiences, and especially with the new younger teams. You know, hey, here's my point of view, take it, leave it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe I've helped them in some sort of way.
Well, and like I said before, I think if you've done 6 years since the earlier part of this decade, I really think you're a veteran now. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of people that are out there, and I think, and what do we always say, Doug? I mean, the people, we have discussions with younger people that are getting into this also, Derek, and I always say, like, God, you know, this is great for you guys. Now there's all these shows out there on the internet to listen to. There's all these websites. There's all these things you can go and learn from. And just like 6 years ago, there really wasn't that much stuff out there. I had to talk to people, you know, on Yahoo Instant Messenger and stuff. People I just met on boards and stuff and said, hey, can you give me some more pointers here? I want to start doing this stuff. You know, and these people were nice enough to help me out. But there wasn't, like, you know, a lot of stuff that was readily available. There's always been books and stuff like that, but God, who wants to dust off these tomes from, you know, the internet obviously is a good place to go and learn a lot of stuff. And people have these opportunities now. They have all this stuff. And
so however, I do suggest dusting off some of them tomes.
I do now. Oh,
lately,
absolutely.
Lately, I've been doing, you know, I go to the, you go to the conventions or see something online or hear a podcast with an author, and then you get the book. And it's so much more in depth.
I just finished Communications from the Other Side. I told you about that.
Yeah.
Or for, I'm going to screw I already screwed up. You have it now, don't you, Bonnie?
Yes, I do.
Communications from Beyond the Light.
Yes.
I can't remember the title of the book. I'm claiming to read it, you know. But no, I just finished that book. I'm moving to Spirit Faces now by Mark Macy. Yeah, I try to read as much as I can now.
Yeah.
The internet isn't the be-all, end-all. I know you know that, too.
No, it's great for scratching the surface, but then getting really into it is...
Yeah,
you do have to crack that spine.
Yeah. It is. And that's what I did when I started Capers. I, you know, I didn't know, you know, from my butt to my elbow, as they say. and I only had, there was only a couple of websites out there. So what I did was I picked up every book I could possibly read about. You know, stories, Troy's Way Back in the Day book, Ghost Hunter's Guidebook, and all those other stories, you know, and books. And I read and read and read. And, you know, I came to my own conclusions on what I needed to do. And how I wanted to do it. Now, these people, you know, putting out books, and of course, as you say, books, I'm going, great, you know, do I make a plug now or later? You know, it's.
You make a plug anytime you want, Derek, all right? You're our boy, and you plug as much as you want.
No, February, I'm going to actually hand you guys a book to come to Cape Cod, and I'm going to tell you where to find the ghost. It's actually like a traveler's guide to haunted Cape Cod.
Oh.
You know, it should be out by the end of February with a publishing company that I'm working with.
Okay.
And, you know, it allows you, the traveler, which we are a tourist destination, that's where my office is, Cape Cod, Massachusetts, you know, to come and actually, you know, find these places, and I'm going to give you the directions to.
Yeah, can't we just come and grab you?
Yeah, can't you just take us around?
That's true. That's true. In my website, I'm going to actually, anybody that's actually coming to Cape Cod, and I always throw this out, you know, please call me. You know, I'll bring you, you know, to these places, and, you know, we'll make a day or a weekend event out of it, you know. It's, of course, for free. You know, I never charge anybody for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, my girlfriend always yells at me, you're giving too much away. Of course I am, you know. It's because if I had to pay for everything in the beginning, I'd be, you know, broke, of course.
But,
I love it when other ghost hunters or paranormal investigators from other states and things, you know, and of course I have a tour company and I bring them on for free and, you know, they come on the tours for free and you guys are coming out in July, right?
Yes, we are. We're booked for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, are we?
We are.
Derek, hang on for one second. We have to have an on-air argument here, so just stand by for one second, all right?
Okay.
I gave the wrong answer.
All right, okay.
I mean, yes, we are.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, what's going to happen here is like...
We have a travel schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't tell me you're going to keep kicking the ass kick.
And I'm going to go, well, Doug, you see...
Wow, you sound an awful lot like Cartman. Yeah.
Well, that's what Doug sounds like when he says that stuff to me. So it's like, and I'm like, but Doug, we have a schedule up online that everybody can access whenever they want to see what's going on.
And, of course, then we'll harass Derek to no end.
Do you know what happened? I'm
so messing with you, dude.
I did indeed open the itinerary just the other day, as a matter of fact, and I counted. But that's all I did. I didn't read it. I just counted all the ones in the, you know, the black highlight.
Yeah, the ones that are in black mean death. That's usually what happens to us since we work ourselves so hard those weekends.
In the black highlight, that's our travel schedule. And so I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... and I got up to 12, and I'm like, oh, that's enough.
Well, they're
as a matter of fact, he was on the phone with me at the time.
As a matter of fact.
God, I'm going to kick the crap out of Scott next time I see him.
I'm so
now, we're booked to come down there in July with you, Derek, and we can't wait. It's going to be totally awesome.
You know, it's Cape Cod. We got the beaches. It's summertime, you know, and I thought of no other better time for you guys to come down.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Plus, of course, you know, got the ghost, too.
Put me and the beer gut out on the beach. That's all you need there. Yeah. That'll bring him in.
And there's,
I'm bringing my Speedo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
You know, we have those beaches, too, you know, down here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect.
So it's all good.
We're
it's
going
good,
to
you know?
A nudist resort,
tequila,
aren't we, Bonnie?
You know,
what was that, Eric?
Mr. Jose and Mr. Jack are always great on the beach. You know, and it always goes, they go down pretty well in the sunshine until you get up.
Oh,
ouch.
Well, I think it's going to be cool. We are booked to come down there and hang out for a weekend. Or I don't have the schedule in front of me, obviously, but we're looking forward to that, Derek. It's going to be really cool to come out. I've never been to Cape Cod, so
me either.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have. So it's going to be really good. Go there and check it out. We're going to have the man to take us around too.
Yep. Oh, definitely.
I can't wait.
You've got to have me out for the weekend, so I am there.
Well, that's good because you're not getting. Away.
You're not gonna get a wink of sleep that weekend, Derek. Yeah. You're not gonna get any sleep. It's gonna be just you're gonna hate us.
Debauchery is always good, and ghost hunting is even better.
You know, Derek, we were
our new T-shirt.
Something I want to touch on.
I like that slogan
a lot.
Debauchery is always good, and ghost hunting is even better.
Yeah.
You know, Derek, you better trademark that thing right now.
Yeah. Because we're getting T-shirts made right now. I'm online.
That's good.
Go ahead.
Getting that done.
We're on Cafe Press.
Yes.
Go ahead. You know, because I wore one of your T-shirts just like your ad, and the women flocked to me instead of money. Sorry.
Exactly.
It works, doesn't it?
If you follow our
plan and just buy one of our shirts, you'll be rich. You'll have women all over
you'll
you.
You'll be on TV. Did you see on not Spooked? It's the
Children of the Grave.
Yes. Children of the Grave. It had the Ghostly Talk T-shirt on.
Who was that gentleman that was talking? They were talking.
I don't remember.
Because I saw that in passing. I was at Amber's house and she was watching it. And I kind of walked by and I'm like, you know, everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes Ghostly Talk at all. And I turn and look at the TV and I see this guy being interviewed on the show on Children of the Grave, and he's wearing a Ghostly Talk shirt. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of cool. All right, you know.
I like that.
You know, I have T-shirts as well, but mine always end up on the show Cops. I don't know why.
Or those movies in the special section of the video store.
Oh, the special one. The Bridgewater Triangle is something I wanted to talk about. We kind of went back and forth on email this week, and that's something you brought up, Derek. And I'll be honest with you, this is something I'm very new to, and it just anything with triangle in it always kind of freaks me out.
Well, there's two. The big one, of course, Devil's Triangle, and then there's one up in Michigan.
We got one here in Michigan
near Traverse City. So
then, of course, we have the Bermuda Triangle in Florida.
That's the same as Devil's.
Triangle. So, yeah, different
Devil's Bermuda, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we call it the Bermuda, Doug. You're the only person that calls it the Devil's Triangle.
I am old. I mean, the...
Yeah, you are.
The original name, like, when I was growing up, was the Devil's Triangle. And then, of course, it became a little more... Well, it became more PC to call it Bermuda because, you know, Devil's...
Oh, yeah, blame it on society, Doug.
And, yeah, so there you go.
Okay, so it's society's fault. All right, so now we're talking about the Bridgewater Triangle. Are there any alternative names for this at all, Derek, just so we can get
first,
that out of the way?
We need all the aliases for Bridgewater Triangle.
Not that I know of. Lauren Coleman in 1983 made it the name up.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, well, then I love it. Because Lauren Coleman is one of my absolute total idols.
Yeah,
so.
Great cryptozoologist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, awesome. So what?
Yeah, so... No, it's 200 square miles in Massachusetts that forms a triangle. It has all the great things. It has the effect just the opposite of the Bermuda Triangle, Devil's Triangle. It spits things out instead of makes things disappear. You know, we have, for cryptozoologists out there, you know, it's Bigfoot, red-eyed dogs, giant snakes the size of stovepipes.
Really?
The ghost hunters, we have, you know, American Native Americans or, you know, Indians or, you know, people in general. The people who surround what is the center of it is called the Hockomock Swamp. It's the largest swamp in Massachusetts that's uninhabited by people, of course, because the largest part of swamp, I guess, you can't build on it, whatever, because I just tripped over my tongue there. That's supposed to be the heart of it, and the name Hockomock is Native American for devil or devil swamp.
Mm-hmm.
So they must know something was about there. For the ufologists out there, UFOs have been seen all around the area throughout these 200 square miles.
Are we going to camp in this place?
Yeah, we camp in there, Derek?
Yes, actually you can because we have authorization from the state to camp in there. I think we're the only team so far that has got legitimate legalization of camping in there.
Well, that's a weekend itself right there.
I'm thinking
we've camped in there.
What's that?
We have camped in there.
Okay, are there bugs in there in July?
Oh, God, here we go.
Of course there are. They're not as big as one down in Florida, but there's massive amounts. We've actually, I think there's pictures of, it on our website somewhere. It says Bridgewater Triangle, and it talks about it with a picture of me wearing a face net, because the horse flies, as we call them, or greenheads, or whatever everybody else calls them, mm-hmm. are so bad that they just land on your arm in rows.
All right, well, then count Doug on that.
All right, we're not
count
camping
Doug out
there.
Of that. Yeah,
unless there's a haunted
we'll just put him in a bubble
in
and roll him around.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, we'll put
that
you in one of those hamster things.
I like that.
Yeah.
And you can just roll around
can
like Bubble Boy.
Can we push him down a hill? Is there a hill there?
Oh, God, we could have so much fun that weekend. Just that alone right there, Derek, will be the weekend itself.
That'll be like the 72-hour one on YouTube is Doug rolling around.
You know, camera's rolling.
Allow me to indulge myself for 1 second, because you mentioned giant snakes.
Yeah.
Have you heard any stories about these as far as like size, what type of snake they may be? I'm just wondering.
Well, they always say it resembles the anaconda.
Okay.
You know, but in North America, you know, it's pretty tough, you know, to have that size of a snake. We have, you know, Burmese pythons, you know, all the homegrown pet store ones, you know,
that
grow up to 16 to 20 feet.
Yeah.
But these are supposed to be big as logs, you know, and mm-hmm. pretty good size. It's people go out there hunting sometimes, which it is actually a preserve, which you shouldn't be hunting, but they do, and there's four-wheeling tracks and people that are on these things, you know, and police officers actually have encountered their car being picked up by this big hairy creature.
Ew.
You know, I'm going to do a plug now, and the gentleman is listening. His name's Chris Balzano. He's putting a book out about the Bridgewater Triangle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it should be coming out very shortly, or if it's not out, it's out now.
Mm.
I forgot the title, Chris. I do apologize if you're listening.
Mm.
He's on ParanormalCrossroads.com.
Okay.
I've worked with him before, you know, and talked to him, and, you know, he's the author type guy, so, you know, he's doing real good work out there. And we also have, it's 200 square miles, you know, and these people that live around the swamp, actually, we've went into police stations, being a nonprofit, this gives you more status, to look at old police logs. And there's more domestic violence around the swamp than anywhere else, you know. It surrounds it. It's pretty weird. Would you call it a portal haunting? Possibly. Vortex? Maybe. You know, what is it? Is it the land itself? Is it, you know, what's underneath the earth? You know, is it the stones? Or is it the obnoxious gases?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Is it the power lines that run right through the center?
Well, you're talking about all kinds of different activity here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just ghosts and stuff like
no,
that.
No, no, it's everything. Ghosts, you know, can be seen on the Tarn River that runs through it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you get satanic cult worshippers in the forest called the Freetown State Forest
mm-hmm.
that Chris Balzano put a book out about that as well, you know. I grew up beside I can say grow up beside the Freetown State Forest. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle lived next to it. You know, we saw people dancing around a fire one evening, you know?
You sure they weren't drunk?
I'm sorry?
You sure they were just wasted?
Are you sure Ghostly Talk wasn't?
No.
Yeah.
There's actually a video, and a gentleman named Aaron Cadju,
mm-hmm.
A Fitchburg State College student, and we did a documentary called The Bridgewater Triangle, Inside the Bridgewater Triangle, and I think it's on YouTube, when we camped out there. And, you know, he retells the story, and no, it was like hooded cloaks, and they were chasing us, and we were on a all-terrain vehicle at the time, uncle and I went away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, and the police officers, the gentleman actually uncovered, you know, they actually sacrificed cows, and he talks about how they do it, and the small shelters they found out in these woods, and the pentagrams, and all this stuff, yeah.
Who was
student?
What was his name?
The police officer is Alves.
No, the student who did the...
Oh, it's Aaron Cadju. Don't ask me to spell it unless I go and run to my DVD that I have of it.
That's right. We have a Cadju.
We have a Cadju. I was just going to say we have a Cadju right down the road from us here.
What Aaron Cadju, and he's actually working on the second portion of it. He's actually making it better, but that was his first work he did with it. So if anybody wants a quick overview of it, you can go on our website, which talks about it, but then you look for Aaron Cadju, Inside the Bridgewater Triangle, and I think it's up on YouTube or Yahoo Video.
That's what I'll be doing
tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
And if you don't, feel free to write me. I can get you a copy for $5, you know, whatever, you know.
Oh, cool.
I'll just burn it, make it, and mail it to you.
Well,
you know,
I find it interesting... because there's a lot of, I mean, this 200 mile area, there's all this different activity. I mean, I'd call it like the paranormal, like, enthusiast candy store. I mean, there's all this wild stuff going
well,
on.
Well, that's interesting, because now we've got, of course, the Bridgewater Triangle. We have, there's the one up in Michigan in the
year. I keep forgetting the name of that.
It's up at the Leelanau Peninsula, anyway. Yeah. And then there's, of course, the Devil's / Bermuda Triangle. There's also other special places. There's Sedona, Arizona. It's supposed to be, like,
vortex.
Really powerful. Of course, the area around Stonehenge is supposed to be very powerful. There's all, there's these places that have just this I need the pen again. I just remembered a name that I was trying to remember last night. We were talking at the ghost hunt, I forgot the name Dudley Town.
Dudley Town, Connecticut.
Yeah.
But listen to Mr. Encyclopedia on the phone here.
Wow. I know. That was all Derek.
Wow, man. That's a hell of a call right there. It's like, Dudley Town, LA.
But,
It's,
but
even it's that an old, was. Mining town that got abandoned because people were killing each other.
Yes. And evidently, that's a pretty powerful place, but you can't get there because it's on private property.
Yeah, no,
now.
It's one of those off-limit places.
Right.
And
privately
owned. Because you will get a. You will get arrested, just like we have up here in Massachusetts. We have, oh my God, where Session 9 was filmed.
Oh, the like, asylum.
Oh,
Jesus. Waverly Hills. Yeah, I know where I stayed at. Oh my God, Danvers.
Danvers.
Yes. Danvers. You know, now they made that whole hospital into condos.
I would not buy a unit. You're going to get calls, you know.
I'm hoping for the call.
Amazing.
You know,
what was that, Derek?
Sorry. Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, what was I going to say, Doug?
I have no
idea.
I am
melted down.
But
we're
only a couple minutes till the very, very, very end. So what's coming up?
What's going on in the future?
What's coming up next?
What is coming up next for us? You know, of course, ongoing cases, the book coming out in February, the haunted tours. It's going to be on the website. And actually, we have what we're considering Paranormal Adventure Company, where, you know, just like almost like Troy does, go to haunted places with us. But for bare bones, you know, it's not some places on my tour, bed and breakfasts, that have actually we've investigated and come up with some strange things.
Oh yeah,
you know, bare bones. Come investigate with us. You know, things like that, small things like that, to give the public an opportunity to join us. You know, and come into a haunted place because, you know, not a lot of people are enthusiasts that just want to spend a night at a place somewhere, and you know, we give them the opportunity for that very minimal cost or whatever it's costing me to get into the building because it is a bed and breakfast. They come and join us.
And that's what it's all about. Again, getting people together.
Yeah,
it's really
is.
Cool.
It's about having fun, and you know, and that's what it is.
Absolutely fantastic, Derek. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to get out to New England next year, and I'm just going to bring.
Next year. You're not going to go, Doug. You don't want to be with bugs.
I'm going to bring a couple hundred of my closest friends. So that the bugs can feed on them, and then I'll be able to watch
the UFO. You'll be in your little hut eating grapes and drinking water.
You actually have 100 friends?
A couple hundred.
A couple three.
I have a couple one friend who called me once. Your website is www.capers.com. That's CAIPRS.com. Watch for the book coming up. Watch for the adventure tour, the ghost tours, everything going on.
Derek's a busy guy. Yeah, Derek's always been a busy guy. And I got to say again before we close out here, it's really been great to have you on finally, Derek. We finally broken the ice as far as Ghostly Talk's concerned. We'd like to have you back on every week after that.
Exactly.
That's fine. My tours are over for the season, so Sunday nights are free.
There we go. See, we're
awesome. Derek, hang on the line for 1 second, okay? Don't leave us just yet.
Man, this done. Was
I'm,
a busy
I'm fried.
Show.
I'm fried. I'm
busy
just like
show. We of course had.
Thank God you were here this week because these last couple weeks have been like just like run.
We had Jay Scott, which I know another Jay Scott too, which is really
we did. Yeah,
and
we
so it was really weird.
Well, I know, and that's what I said to him. I mentioned that to him before. We know two Jay Scotts,
but we had Jay Scott. We had Virginia. We had.
Russ Fox.
We had talking about Heaven's Gate, the series, at heavensgatetheseries.com.
Yep.
We had John Cicchetti of CentralOhioParanormal.com.
Yeah, and Stuyvesant Hall, that's over there at Ohio Wesleyan University. Really great to us. Couldn't think of enough.
And then Derek Bartlett of capers.com, C-A-I-P-R-S.com. Of course, I went on a bit of a rampage and a, you know, whatever, but something need to be said, you know. Occasionally you need a slap.
I'm glad you took that one over.
Yeah, and now I imagine I have to go home and empty my inbox without even reading anything.
We'll close it like this, though, in regards to that. You're doing it because you love to do it. Bottom line.
That's
if you
right
ever
reason.
Talk to any of us from Ghostly Talk here, if you talk to Derek, who's on the phone right now, he's going to tell you the exact same thing. I'm sure of that. Why are you doing this stuff? And I've had people ask me that question, too. Why are you doing this stuff, Scott? What are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to experience some things. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to grow. And I'm doing this because I love the paranormal, and I love learning about the paranormal.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. We're going to close it out on that.
Thank you.
We're out of here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be back next week. Peace.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
I listen to now. The media become the media.